The views expressed by the host and guests of this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Truth Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. My name is Rebecca Haney, as you just heard from that handy-dandy little intro, and you're listening to Faith Works Live, which is just a place to uplift God and to hopefully uplift one another. And specifically, we focus on different things, different days of the week. And on Tuesdays, ever since enacted by our buddy and pal and just everybody's favorite pastor, Mike Damastis, it has been Life Tuesday. That is a legacy that we are proud to continue under my tenure here. And we are proud to uplift and uphold the dignity of human life. And that covers an awful lot of topics and areas that people don't always think about very much. But this should be something that every single Christian is overjoyed to discuss, because our God is life itself, and our God is the author and creator and founder of life, and he loves life, and he is the one that gives life and then takes it away as well, and he gives us a purpose in our lives too. So in all of that to say, this is an area where I think we should be pretty clear as the people of God. Should be and are two different things. We are not always where we should be, unfortunately. So what we do on Tuesdays around here, and by we, I mean Rebecca, myself, and our great producer, Ron Carlson, who is always in the mix and always just being awesome in silence. But Tim Overland is our illustrious co-host on Life Tuesday ever since the beginning. Hey there, Tim.
Hey, how are we doing, Rebecca?
Well, that was an awkward segue, but I just wanted to be sure you knew how much you are appreciated.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate you appreciating me.
Okay, isn't this a beautiful love fest already?
Yes, all right.
This is just one big happy family. Let's close in prayer.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you?
We're getting there. We're getting there. But I think the reason that I think we should be very clear about how much, how valuable life is, and especially where we should stand on the taking of life, matters like abortion or euthanasia, for that matter, things we should be, you know, wholeheartedly against and decrying for the evil that they are. It seems a little strange that the church is still confused about this issue, or maybe not quite as bold or speaking with one voice the way that we should. Maybe not taking every opportunity that we have to defend life and to decry the taking of innocent life the way that we should. And that's something that I think we can do a better job at. But instead of just, you know, wishing for that, I think we should look for examples of people who are doing it well. What say you?
Absolutely. I mean, that's been, as you know, you were there at the founding, and that's the mission of Personhood Iowa, was getting the church engaged. And, you know, we know too many times that that's not happening, whether it's, you know, we don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable if they are post-abortive or whatever the case is, because we, you know, we talk about the numbers on here a lot that, you know, seven out of 10 women who have an abortion identify as a Christian, which, I mean, yeah. I don't know, that's probably a low bar at this point. You can identify pretty much any way you want these days. But we do know that 4 out of them are regular attenders at a church. So they're in a church once or twice a month, and they're still having abortions. So either they're not listening, they are justifying, or they're just not hearing it. And I think the latter is probably, in most cases, you know, different than obviously Pastor Mike's or Pastor Kerry Gordon or, you know, other churches, the handful of churches that we know of. But other than that, it's pretty scarce, I think.
Yeah, well, and I think there's a lot of reasons. Frankly, there's a lot of excuses to do something we know we should do, but we don't want to do, because, as you said, it can be uncomfortable. It can cause backlash. It can make people angry or upset, and cause folks to leave or to threaten to leave, and all of those are still not good reasons, I think, to avoid doing the right thing. Right. In fact, God's word actually says, if you know that something is right to do and you don't do it, to you it is sin. Mm-hmm. And so that's a pretty stark recognition of the way that God sees things. And I think we do need to be speaking out with one voice, not without compassion, not without understanding. Obviously not. We should be speaking the truth in love. See yesterday's podcast for that information with Dan. We were talking all about how to speak the truth, but still do it in love, but still speak the truth. You know, that whole dance that we can do in faith. But at the same time, we still eventually we have to speak the truth, because where else is this world that is so dark and so lost? Where else are people going to hear it if not from the household of faith, if not from the pulpits, if not from the mouth of the disciples of Christ? You know, where else are people going to get the truth, right?
Right, right. And, you know, it's... The truth and grace thing, you know, there's only been one person that's ever walked the planet that's done that perfectly. So, you know, it's tough, but, you know, we do know that we do need to speak truth. Otherwise, you know, some of my favorite little videos to watch is Ray Comfort when he walks somebody through the fact, pointing out that they're a sinner. Mm-hmm. And even if they thought they were a pretty good person, you know, so yeah, we have to, if we're supposed to be the hands and the feet, you know, right. if we're not calling out sin, and again, we can do that in love. I saw a great meme today by one of my favorite online follows, Laura Clausen. And, you know, mm-hmm. Basically the point was, abortion doesn't stop you from being a mother. You're pregnant. You're already a mother. Now what do you do? And she taught, you know, she basically says now exactly. Act like a mother and protect your child. So, some folks are better at the you know, maybe the grace than I am, and I've gotten a lot better at it over the years for sure, but mm-hmm. you know, I think there's a point to how do you define that grace, whether it's the cheap grace or just, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable, you know, especially pastor. If people aren't feeling uncomfortable in your sermon, you're probably missed the job description.
Yeah. Well, and we have the preview that things will get very uncomfortable, and there will be people that don't like us for right. that reason. There were people that didn't like Jesus for that very reason and still don't. So we're in good company if that's mm-hmm. the case. That doesn't mean that just because we make people uncomfortable that we're being like Christ. Those are two different things.
Right.
But if we're standing for what God says his people should be for, and we're on that side, so to speak, then it's no wonder that you're going to get some flack. But that doesn't remove from us the responsibility to continue to preach the gospel, to be faithful to God and to God's character. So how we do that might look a little different from here to there, but I think we have an example that I wanted to discuss. Tim, you shared this with me, and I was unfamiliar with this preacher before this, but he has some very strong words. He is not mincing words no. whatsoever. Yeah. His name, I don't know if you know him personally or not.
I don't.
but he seems like the kind of guy that, you know, we would talk about. Probably yeah, get along
hang out with.
Because he's pretty outspoken. His name is Pastor Greg Locke, and he is a preacher in Tennessee. And we actually have a clip of him speaking about abortion from his church pulpit, and it sounded like this.
I'm telling you, butchering babies grieves me. Okay, the message is over here. You follow me right here. Look me in my two God-given eyeballs. I ain't gonna blink. Butchering babies bothers me. People are like, well, that abortion clinic just opened up one day, and you already threw a fuss? Let them reopen, see what kind of fuss I throw. Now listen to me, and listen to me well. There's a door right there, and there's a door right there. Nice double door. If you think butchering babies is okay, I'll give you 30 seconds of silence to stand up and pack up that Bible that you pretend to believe and get in your car and get out of this parking lot, because we are not ministering to baby butchers in this church and getting people to think it's all right. It is wicked. It is vile. It is ungodly. And if you think I pitched a fit about it the first time, you just let them reopen, and we're really going to pitch a fit about it this time. I told my wife, I said, you all right, baby? She said, I'm all right. I said, okay, then I'm good. If it ticks off God, it better tick you off.
Whoa.
I'm not really sure. Do you really? I'm not sure about the conviction there. I was a little, felt a little wishy-washy.
Not sure where he stands.
Yeah,
huh?
Pretty.
Well, and he is nothing if not clear in that clip. That is 1 minute, and you know exactly where he stands and exactly where, as a result, his church stands too. I mean, he's speaking with the authority, I assume, of the church leadership, and you hear the people saying amen in the background. So they are standing together on this, I would assume. And again, that's a pastor, Greg Locke in Tennessee is his name. And I was not aware of too much of his ministry ahead of time, but just judging from this clip, I think there's a lot of, we could do with the whole pro and con thing, Tim, but what are your initial thoughts? Why is that so important, do you think?
Well, I mean, one, he's clear. And I do want to say also that if a woman came to Pastor Locke, and again, I don't know him, I've just watched some of his videos and seen some of his work. Obviously, they've helped and successfully shut down an abortion clinic in their neighborhood. But if a woman came to him that was post-abortive, or somebody came out of an abortion clinic and repented, I have a feeling Pastor Locke would be the first one to throw his arms around them and, you know, share the gospel with them and help lead them to Christ. So I want to make sure that that's crystal clear. He's not telling some post-abortive woman to get out. He's saying, if you think this is okay, this does not line up with our faith. That's what he's saying, and it's crystal clear. And obviously, I don't care. It would have been nice. It would have been interesting if somebody would have got up and stood up to go to the bathroom at that point. They might have crossed their legs for a while. I got a feeling nobody moved at that point. I got a feeling.
No one had. Suddenly, you sat back down, right? Well, and it's that type of, that is a line in the sand moment. And like you said, I think it's easy for us to maybe, especially people who are a little less confrontational by nature, and the ones who fall more on the less love folks side, and God bless you. Like the world needs just plain old, nice, good, good, kind people. But at the same time, he's drawing a line in the sand, and we all have to have those moments. We all have different places that make us draw that line. And this is an issue. Be willing to have that bold stand and say, no, this is not all right. And I think the most important line was right at the end when he said, if it ticks off God. Basically, if God says this is wrong, this is an abomination, this is not the way I design my world, this is everything that I'm against, I stand against this, and I'm the God of the universe. If he's taking that stand, then so should we. Like, he's already drawn the line, and now we just have to be on the right side of it, that kind of thing. So that was very, very clear. And I think we do need clarity in our pulpits, in our churches about life. And what might that look like? It could be different for different folks. We'll talk about that a bit more coming up on FaithWorks Live.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
I'm Rebecca. This is FaithWorks Live, along with Tim Overland and Ron Carlson, our producer extraordinaire. We have Life Tuesday on deck today, and we absolutely love the opportunity to stand for life, to hear stories that affirm life, and to talk about ways that we can defend and protect life, especially from things that try to take that away. And our great friends over at Agape Pregnancy Resource Center are practically living out and providing real compassionate, caring services that do support life right here in our community. Every single day, they offer free pregnancy tests, STD testing, ultrasounds, and confirmation ultrasounds, and so much more. They have an amazing ministry to help support women in crisis pregnancy, as well as men, as whole families. And so they're really changing the landscape and helping to affirm life in our community. And if you'd like to find out more about how to support that mission, go to agapedsm.com. That's agapedsm.com. Now, last segment, we started out by playing a clip of a pastor who was very bold in speaking out about life and abortion from the pulpit. In fact, the takeaway that from that 1 minute was basically, if you are going to defend abortion, then you can walk out of the church right now. If you're saying that that's all right, that that's morally okay, then there's the door, which is controversial in this day and age. But he had, I'm sure, some blowback and some backlash. And this pastor, again, his name was Greg Locke, and he's from Tennessee, submitted to the world. Not only did he not apologize or back down, but he basically doubled down on this. And so here is another short clip describing and explaining his response to the backlash.
Hey guys, Pastor Greg Locke here. So I got this message yesterday that said, look, I'm a Christian, but when are you going to stop doing videos against Planned Parenthood and about abortion? How about when fake Christians who pretend to believe the Bible actually stop believing in abortion? They are not compatible, ladies and gentlemen. If you support Planned Parenthood, if you believe in abortion, you are not a Bible-believing Christian. You don't have to be pro-life to get saved. But you will be, did you hear me? You will be pro-life if you are saved. Okay, quit using the Bible to try to justify abortion. It's not in there, knucklehead. You have to completely butcher the text and take it way out of context. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God is against abortion. If you believe the Bible, if you have a brain, and if you stand up for righteousness, you will be against abortion too. Plain and simple. Planned Parenthood's wicked. Abortion is murder.
Well, again, there's highly nuanced and a little intricate. I'm not sure I picked up on the main point, Tim, but maybe you can help us navigate some of that.
Well, I mean, obviously we're being a little tongue-in-cheek there, but I mean, it's, you know, this... You know, we hear in the political realm right now, right? Well, you know, President Biden's a Catholic, and, you know, and look, you know, this isn't going to be a beat up on Catholics, because there's a whole lot of other Christian denominations we could line up and beat up on. But, you know, and frankly, the Catholics have led on the fight for life a lot longer than the Protestants jumped in. So, but the point is, you know, you talked about there's room for nice people in the last segment, and you know what? Yeah, you got to be nice, but there's some things. There's only a handful of things they say God hates, you know, and hate's a strong term. I think we've watered that down a lot. Well, I hate, you know, spinach or whatever. I mean, that's like watered down. I think God takes it to a little different level when he talks about the spilling of innocent blood. So, you know, you know, I think Pastor Locke has gotten to the point to where enough, Christian. If you say you're a Christian, this is one of those things that should, you know, as he used in the previous video, tick you off. I mean, this is, we're talking about, you know, we talk about this in Iowa. We're talking about 13 a day. We're talking about somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 babies every single day in this country. And another thing we may get to later in the segment, so I was doing a little research, there's been about 7,000 babies born in the U.S. today. We're going to kill about 3,000 if you want to go with the low end of the numbers. That's a massive percentage, you know, and because one of the topics you thought maybe we might get to today is our population growth or lack thereof. And so when we think about what that does, and you can get into the minority communities and all of this kind of stuff, how it disproportionately affects them, this is why we get worked up over this. You know, we talked off the air about, you know, talking about a particular subject that we're dealing with in our family. If you're on Facebook, you've seen it. My son just had his son 14 weeks early. I mean, we're talking a 26-week baby that, you know, basically fits in the palm of his hand. This is a tiny, tiny baby, you know, and so I don't know if it's because of that, but I'm seeing more stuff in my feed, 22 weekers, 24 weeks. You know, I've got a lot of friends that I've met in the pro-life community that have had preemies and probably became pro-life because they had doctors telling them, kill your kid because it's not going to go well. So, you know, that may sound like harsh language, but that's what we're talking about, and that's what Pastor Locke is doing. This isn't, oh, I wish this icky abortion would just go away. Eventually, the courts will decide, or eventually somebody will decide. We're talking about a lot of lives, and we don't have to get into the millions of numbers just to blow you away since 1973. How about just this year? We're into March. You know, we'll do some math on the break, and we'll come back and figure out how many Iowans have been killed in the just in 2021. and we can do the math and figure out what it's been in this country. Those are, yeah. There should be a reason we should be ticked off.
Right. Well, and I wonder what else it takes to get as angry as I know that God is about this type of thing. Like, I've seen people get angry because somebody cut them off in traffic.
Right.
I've seen people get angry over much lesser things, you know, feeling like there was something they were entitled to that they were deprived of. Maybe they were, but the heart cries out for justice in situations where we feel that something has been fundamentally broken. Something really wrong has happened. And I mean, like you said, you may chafe and really cringe at the way that particular pastor identifies this issue and chooses to speak about it, but he is speaking about it. And, you know, if you know of a better way, how about we all stand up and do it? And then, you know, maybe we'll see where we are. We can compare strategies and talk about it, but we cannot be complacent anymore. And the attitude you just described, Tim, I think that's the word for it, is we become complacent and just accept this as a normal thing, maybe a sad reality that we just have to deal with. No, I think it's only until we say this is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. We will not accept it. We will not allow this to go on. We will not act like this is okay and kind of be sad about it when we think about it, but move on with our lives like it's normal. It's not normal to kill our children. It's not normal to place the burden of our existence or our desires or our convenience or anything like that on our own children and say, if there's a problem, they have to be removed. That's not normal. That's anything but. Unfortunately, it is a regular occurrence in a world that is broken by sin. I mean, that we know. We certainly know enough about our own, you know, wanting our own way enough to hurt others in order to get it. But to say that the babies are the problem, I don't know. I don't think we have any evidence whatsoever that might be true. They're not the ones causing the problems that we see in our world. In fact, they might very well be the solutions, but maybe, you know, we're not going to find out if we don't allow them the chance to live. And we need to be much more clear about this and say exactly what we mean. That's what we'll hope to do here as we return on Life Tuesday on FaithWorks Live.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
We love supporting our friends who support Life, and especially here on Life Tuesday, it fits so well to let you know about our friends at Iowans for Life. Ever since 1972, they have been pro-life warriors standing up to protect human life from conception until natural death. They've done that throughout the years and on many fronts, whether through legislation and through policy, through education and efforts to like the March for Life in Washington. And just a whole lot of great folks standing for life and have been for a very long time. If you'd like to know how to connect with their organization and some of the great things that they do, you can visit iowansforlife.org. That's iowansforlife.org. And of course, I couldn't talk any more highly about our friends at Animus Beef. They're just great people and they provide great dinners for my family. And so I can recommend them to yours wholeheartedly. Here in Iowa, we know good beef and the Animuses raise great beef. It's naturally home raised Angus butcher beef, and they can help you get what you might need for your family. And really, you can't beat a great beef steak or roast. I was talking the other day about being nervous about ribs. I'm not a great person. Like, I don't have a great recipe for ribs. And Mary Lynn Onima said she could hook me up. So I'm looking forward to that. So if you need some
low
help with some great
slow.
Beef
low and
in
slow
your
is
life,
the secret.
See, I need your advice, too, because I know you smoke some great meats in your time, mm-hmm. Tim, although I haven't been over to dinner one of those days. So that's I'm going to have to steal some recipes from you and from Jazz.
There you go.
But if you'd like to get some Animus beef of your own, and why wouldn't you? You can go to animusbeef.com and find out more. You can order online there, too, or chat with them and get your questions answered. It's Animus. That's OhNEMUS beef.com. That's what's for dinner. you're listening to Life Tuesday, along with Great Beef Recipes. We also talk life, defending life, standing up against the ongoing evil of abortion and many things that devalue life. And in particular, we talk about abortion because it's become such a socially acceptable killing. Like, there's this is crazy that we have to put these words together in this order, but that's what it is. It's the intentional killing of a pre-born human being, and we need to stop that. We don't need that in our country. We don't need that in the world. It is a scourge on us, and it's doing nothing good. It's taking away the promise of the next generation, and it's leaving us all with wounds and scars and guilt. And we need to be set free from this. We need to stop it, and we need to be set free from this sin. And Tim, you were talking about some ugly numbers, which I think should be your new segment. I think you should have ugly numbers with Tim Overly. But because you were willing to do the math, I say math itself is a little ugly when I do it. So I'm glad you took that upon yourself, and you're bearing that burden today to do some calculations about the toll that abortion already in our own state. We've seen the damage, have we not?
Yeah. So today is the 75th day of 2021. So, you know, here we are one day away from St. Patty's Day, Reformation Day. You know, I know that I don't want to stir up any controversies with anybody, but 75th day of the year. And I'm taking a guess, you know, we don't have the exact number. We know it's somewhere between 10 and 13 abortions per day, roughly. So on the high end, I mean, you can do the math. On the high end, that's 975 babies this year have died in Iowa. If you want to go on the low end, it's still 750. So just think about that for a minute. 750 mm-hmm. babies never had a chance. In the U.S. alone, I'm kind of on the low end of that average because you've got several states that don't report, and it's kind of a little bit of a guess, educated guess as it is. In the U.S. this year, 2021, this is just this year, 225,000 babies have been killed on purpose. And so, you know, you want to start talking about a pandemic. Another number I scribbled down because I thought it was one of the impactful conversation I had with a legislator several years ago after we here in Iowa, the quote unquote Party for Life gained the trifecta. You know, we vanquished the dastardly, as our friend Steve Dace called him, Governor Gronstahl, gained the Senate, had the governor, longest serving governor in U.S. history, Republican House. It happened in November of 2016, but they actually took the session was opened on January 9th, 2017. So since that time has been, if Google's right, is 1,528 days. So we have had the Republican Party, that's first plank in the state platform, which I helped write, which is basically a personhood plank, has been in complete control. The Democrats, the party of abortion, could do nothing to stop them. 1,528 days. Using our math at 13 a day, that's 19,864 babies have been killed in this state, quote unquote, legally. And there's nothing the Democrats could have done to stop us.
There's no justification for that.
Nope. None. So, and I'm trying to give you some things that'll get you to the level of Pastor Locke, you know, and getting you fired up. And, you know, we've got some great guys out there that are fighting and doing what they can, and women in the, House and Senate. I think, knowing her a little bit, I think Governor Reynolds is personally very pro-life. They just get sucked into this, what they think is a political reality, and are worried about what man's going to say and those folks in the black robes across the street. And they just, somebody's got to take a stand. I mean, that is so many just, you know, little babies that are gone. And, you know, we're going to be in the next few months, by summer, by the time they get out of session, probably, maybe it'll be a little bit out of session. I think they'll end up probably in May. I doubt they'll go into June. I mean, over 20,000 babies have been aborted since the Republicans have had all three segments of the state government here in Iowa. That's a lot.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. Like you said, to be upset about something, it is upset enough to do something about it. You know, if not now, then when? If not,
right.
When you're faced with the reality of if you accept one of these things, you cannot help but have some sort of reaction to it. If you accept the reality that this is real taking of real people's lives, that's happening every single day. And, you know, there are towns in Iowa that don't have 700, 800, 900 people. And those are the numbers of people that we're discarding with utility, I suppose you might say. And that's very scary. If we can't recognize the horror of that and the weight of that and feel the guilt of that collectively and the heartbreak in that, that must be our ministry. That's where God calls his people for such a time as this to speak the truth boldly, to speak in love. And like we said yesterday, love is the motivating factor. It's not about pounding people over the head with the truth to complete some kind of agenda or to manipulate people into, you know, doing what we want them to do or thinking the way we want them to think. That's not it at all. It's that love has to act. And when love sees people in danger, it speaks out so that they might live, so that they might avoid the danger. So if you love someone and you know that their house is on fire, you have to call out. You have to help them. You have to go get them if you can. You know, this is the motivation is love, but the motivation is not, it can't be silent, it can't be dormant, and it can't be complacent. So yeah, I really appreciate the passion. Again, you might not use the words that Pastor Locke used. You may think, oh, well, maybe he could have said it this way or that way. Well, then by all means, I hope that you find a good way to say it and that you do. You know, I hope that we all find those words that fit in our vocabulary, those ways that we can serve and stand up for life. Maybe it looks a little different from person to person. That's okay. But we all have to have a part in this. Otherwise, it's not going to stop. I think this is going on as long and as tragically as the people of God continue to permit it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I truly believe. And that if we were willing to speak out first in prayer, and unite with the heart of God on this issue, and then speak out in our own communities and serve in our communities and support ministries like Agape, like Inner Visions, like the pro-life pregnancy resource centers that we have that are available, like groups like Embrace Grace, for example, or like with our friend Laura Lemix ministering to post-abortive women, focusing on foster care and adoption, children that need parents and families, and really upholding and uplifting the family. All these things are helping towards that same goal of protecting, defending, and valuing the life that God gives. So that's our place. That's our place. We'll talk a bit more about this on FaithWorks Live when we come back.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
We're talking about practically living out our pro-life. We can't do better than the fine folks at Inner Visions Healthcare. They provide free, caring, confidential pregnancy care for any unplanned pregnancy, for STDs, for those medical needs. If you have questions and need maybe an ultrasound, something like that as well, they provide all of those services and more. And they have two different locations, one on the west side of Des Moines and one on the south side. And at either place, you're going to find hope and real help. In fact, you can call them 24 hours a day. That number is 515-800-3440. 515-800-3440 for Inner Visions Healthcare Clinics. Now, my name is Rebecca Haney, and you're listening to FaithWorks Live, and this is Life Tuesday, where we seek to put our convictions, our pro-life convictions, into practice. We want to live out our pro-life, as we've been fond of saying. Tim Overland is my partner in crime today, and I know that there's there have been an awful lot of changes over the last year. Everybody knows we've kind of been at this whole quarantine pandemic. We've really had to change our lives for the last year. And that was not what anybody thought, I think, last spring.
Two weeks of flattening the curve. Welcome to the 1 year anniversary.
Wasn't it 15 days, right?
Something
15
like
days
that.
To flatten
yeah.
the curve.
Yeah.
And now we're over a year into this. So you never know what you're going to get, Forrest Gump. I do think that a lot of people, when they told us all to stay home and to socially distance from anyone who wasn't family, and, you know, we're not going places, we're not doing things. The one thing that people thought about, laughed about even, was, well, there's going to be a lot of babies coming mm-hmm. in 9 months. There's going to be a baby boom from COVID and kids named Corona and stuff like that. Well, actually the opposite. A funny thing happened during quarantine. And that was that the babies, you know, 9 months now, past 9 months later, we haven't really seen that. In fact, we've seen the opposite, according to the research that's been done, the numbers that have come in. There's preliminary results from over half the states now that indicate a drop or decrease in the birth rate just over this last year compared to previous years. But the scary thing is that this is mirroring a larger trend that's just continuing. It's not only because of COVID, but it's continuing the trend that we've seen for many years at this point, actually for decades, of a decline in the number of children that we're having in America and really across the Western world. The Brookings Institute estimated in December that because of the pandemic, about 300,000 fewer babies would be born in the U.S. in 2021 compared to that last year. And that's quite large. And some numbers, some estimates were as high as 500,000 children would not be born compared to the previous year. And that's something that ought to make us stand up and take pause. I mean, even if you're not a person that really goes by the numbers, or you think, what does that have to do with the price of tea? It's a big deal when you're talking about that many people in the result or in the wider population, because that represents whole lifetimes. It's not just children that, you know, maybe born last year or this year or things like that. It's not just numbers on a page. It's whole lifetimes that we're talking about basically being just not here. So Tim, when you hear those numbers and you think in a long-term legacy kind of way, what does that make you think?
Well, as you alluded to, it's been a trend that has been happening. There's been reports popping up over the last few years that we're not replacing our population fast enough. I think I heard a story, and I don't remember when it was, but I believe that somewhere around 3 million babies are born every year in this country. We also know that about 1 million babies every year are aborted. So about 25% of pregnancies end in abortion, which is really, really sad. But then in the meantime, you know, we're worried about not having enough kids to go to college or fill jobs. And so we have to import. The disconnect is just mind numbing. Makes me want to cite First Knucklehead by Pastor Locke there a little bit, if we can't make that connection. But
that's not a word we use often enough.
No, right. We need to more. But, you know, it really got me thinking a little bit about this. You were just talking about 15 days to flatten the curve. Here we are a year later. And I got to wonder if a lot of this mm-hmm. doesn't go hand in hand. And the fact is that we're in a post-Christian society. You know, we're not standing up as Christians. We're not supposed to fear. I mean, the level of fear that is engulfed this country and this world, but this country in particular, that's supposed to be a Christian nation, churches shutting down and not opening back up, and you know, not looking at kids as the you know, as a blessing. You know, that was something we were talking off air about, a book that I was just reading, and talking about how Christianity revolutionized the way we looked at women and children, and how added value to them. And we view them as valuable to us, you know, not just financially or not just as another worker, but in as a blessing sense. And, you know, it's been an awful long time here, it seems like, lately, where, you know, you just don't have kids. I mean, one of the things, and one of the stories that you're referencing talks about, you know, when people do better, they have more kids. And I don't, That I don't know that I believe that necessarily. I mean, maybe it's just some of the propaganda. I mean, Planned Parenthood talks about, you know, or the you know, you hear about the welfare culture, you know, and it's all the poor people having babies. You know, it's not the rich people having babies. So I don't know. Maybe that means we should do a deeper dive and dig into that a little bit. But to say that, you know, that people probably were worried about money. They probably were worried about daycare and their schools shutting down and what are we going to do? My prayer is that this maybe turns us back to more stay-at-home moms and more family industries and more of those type of things. You know, maybe we get back to the front end of the Industrial Revolution a little bit where families are more bonded. But I don't know. It's disturbing. Yeah. Well, you know, we don't value human life as being created in the image of God. And that's, we can look around us and look at everybody living in fear with double, triple masks and all this kind of crazy nonsense.
Yeah. Well, and I think we often talk about these issues, and I think that's because Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger have set the tone of the conversation for so long, mm-hmm. that we talk about the impact of childbirth from the perspective of the individual cost of having one child.
Right.
But we don't talk about the long-term national global cost of not having children.
Right.
And we see nations like Japan, nations like Italy. At this point, much of the European world, Austria, Belgium, Hungary, these are France. These are places where the population is beginning to not replace itself, in essence, not at the rate that's fast enough in order to be a healthy society.
Well, even China is starting to relax its one-child policy. They figured out, hey, we shouldn't have 50 right. boys for one girl. You know, the math doesn't work out very well there.
Right, exactly. Well, and then, you know, where are you going to find spouses for all the boys that you have now?
Right.
Because you were targeting girls and not allowing girls to be born or to kill them. You know, there's consequences for all mm-hmm. of these things. And we should know this by now. And yet we continually have to rediscover it because professing to be wise, we've become fools. We've exchanged the truth of God for a lie.
Yep.
And that has its own self-fulfilling destruction, unfortunately. But I think hopefully this leads, well, it is a little ironic to see like left-leaning institutes like the Brookings Institute or the Guttmacher Institute talk about how bad it is that we're not having enough kids because of COVID when they're the ones that have told us this whole time that we should kill the kids that we're having
right.
Or should, you know, not separate sex from children, you know, all those things.
We need an irony sound effect.
And we do. Ron, get on that. Please. Irony sounder. But
no.
If we think about it. All right, never mind. I'll submit the request in writing in triplicate, as per usual. The struggle is that we see children, if we abide by the secular wisdom, there's two distinctly different worldviews that have been at odds and at war since before the foundations of the world, right? There's the worldview from the enemy that is full of lies, you know, from the very beginning, he was the liar. And so he feeds us lies that are meant to kill, steal, and destroy everything that's good about the world and to stop us, to stamp out our hope and our flourishing. And then there is the God who loves us, who designed us for good, who designed us who promises abundant life, who is the giver and author of life and loved us so much that he made us and breathed life into us. This is what he's all about, is flourishing. And he wants us abundantly. And that's where we have to run when we're in times of crisis, when we're faced with fear and isolation. Those are the lies that are coming to keep us down, to stamp out the flourishing that God wants us to experience. So we need to run to the author of life and to adopt his view of children, of babies, of older people, of people who maybe, you know, have different sorts of physical challenges, for example. They are here for a reason. He's given them to us in love. Let us see them through the eyes of love. Through God's eyes. I guess that's going to be my closing point today. This has been Life Tuesday on FaithWorks Live. Rebecca signing out for Tim. Until next week, God bless you, brother.